Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that gets it all done for you. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. All right. Let's bring in the outstanding Frank Bodani. Frank, always a pleasure, my friend. Great to have you back.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. Hope you're doing well midweek here.
I'm doing very well. How about you?
You know, it's a little busy time here. There's a few things going on with Penn State football. Just a couple here. We head towards Thanksgiving, you know.
So what have been your thoughts about how the last 72 hours plus and how it's played out here and what the future can look like? So we'll start with how it's played out to this point.
Well, I think the timing of Mike Yurcich's firing and that announcement and such, I think maybe caught some people a little by surprise, just the timing of it, but not the occurrence of it. I think that seemed to be trending toward a move. And, hey, I mean, the offense did not look, at least from the outside, the way fans, media types and such expected, did not do that. So what's going to change? Something's got to change. And I think it's interesting that now we have, at least officially, you know, unofficially, we have a coordinator search going on as the season's going on. So it's a lot because there's also a game Saturday, right. Of course, that, you know, you're not forgetting about. But I think Penn State fans are just more, you know, I mean, they know that Penn State plays Rutgers on Saturday, but I think it's more about, well, where do we go from here? Because what they saw on offense is not what they wanted, what they expected, and not enough to beat the two teams they really cared about, fair or not. So it seems like the focus is a little more on that than it is on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights coming up.
All right. So when you look at the state of that offense, quarterback, running backs, offensive line, tight ends, wide receivers, how do you look at each grouping to this point based just on what you've either seen on TV or when you've physically been there to watch it? What is your general impression of each of those areas?
Well, running backs, I just think there's more to get from them. And I wonder about being utilized, how they could be utilized, because Nick Singleton and Catron Allen both at least appear to be vastly, you know, have vast talents among them. I mean, we saw Nick Singleton run away from people very explosive last year. You've seen Catron Allen with his vision, with his power, and it just seemed like there's more to get there. So how do you get Nick Singleton in space? How do you make those great athletic gifts real weapons? It just seemed like they were not able to do that. So give them all the credit for how hard those two kids are trying, but I think it's the usage there. I think there's more to gain. I really thought they'd both be more involved in the pass game this year and getting somehow Nick in space and on the edge. The tight ends, I mean, really productive. I mean, I guess I'm always someone that thinks, hey, you got 6'5" guys who can really catch the ball. Why are you not throwing it to them even more? I think they really got to try to find that group more the last couple games of the season. because I think they're so good at what they can do, especially catching. You know, blocking, I think it's hard to replace Brenton Strange. I think that's the reality.
Agreed.
I think he did a tremendous job, and I think he maybe overexceeded his expectations as a blocker last year, but I think they missed him this year. But pass catching wise, the tight ends to me is, you know, everything, the red zone, everything you would want. I mean, wide receivers, that's the biggest question on the entire team, Steve, to me. That's the biggest fault of the entire team. Do they have a number one guy? I mean, I don't know. Keandre Lambert-Smith, great athletic ability. I don't know if he's quite what the number ones were in the past, and they don't have the guys behind him, and that's to me their biggest priority going forward next season. Development, transfer portal, whatever you want to say, that's number one on the team. Offensive line, I think, has done well enough. Have they dominated the way some people thought maybe in the run game at times? No. But overall, I mean, the guy, Caden Wallace, has stepped up. I mean, I think we can see that. I think they've held their own. You know, I think they've held their own. And Drew Aller is the quarterbacks. You know, Drew is number-wise, I think he's, you know, a tremendously coachable kid, has done everything they seemingly have asked. Two biggest games, I think he needs more help. And I wonder what it's going to look like in the pass plays coming up Saturday, for example. Are we going to see a real difference in the routes, the schemes, trying to make what James said, make it easier for Drew early in the games with easier passes? So I'll be fascinated to see how that looks any differently.
Where do you think Drew Aller is maybe better than he was when he started the season? We'll keep it on that vein, because, I mean, everybody will take, okay, he's not doing this, this, and this. Where do you think he's better right now?
Well, I think he's come into terms with the idea of running with the football. I mean, and making that decision to do it. I didn't know if that would be a part of his game. I didn't know if it would need to be a part of his game. But he is 6'4", 6'5". I mean, he kind of looks like Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he's a load to bring down, and I think there's things to gain from that, right?
Right.
So, I mean, to me, that's – and him maybe dealing – okay, so I didn't know if he'd have to deal with a lot of adversity from the position. So I think we've seen him do that, the way he's entertained the media, the questions – some of the tough times on the team, I think he's handled that. I think he's handled that pretty well.
Yeah. Okay, so defensively, when you look at this team defensively, what are the elements that you like about it that puts the team in a position to win consistently?
Well, I mean, speed, depth. You have arguably the most talent of any Penn State defense, just to start with, under James Franklin. You know, we went through this the beginning of the year. I mean, there's 3-4 All-American candidates on that team, on that defense. And the speed that they have, the depth that they have, and the guy calling the plays and coaching them up. I mean, is there one better in the country than Manny Diaz? I think he's as good as they get.
Yep.
So that combination... I mean, and it's all layers, right? I mean, I think in other Penn State defenses, it's been so good at linebacker, so good on the line. I think, you know, it's that the talent and everything I talked about is spread out on three layers better than it's ever been.
Right. Okay, so we talked about, you know, moving forward from here. The choice of an offensive coordinator, how interested are you going to be in the style of coordinator it is, based on the fact that you do have two quarterbacks here that do have nuanced differences, but some differences as to how they play the game?
Absolutely. And I think James made it a point on Monday to talk about how they're going to be involved. I mean, Drew Aller is your number one guy, right? Five-star quarterback. He has all the NFL, at least it looks like all the NFL abilities and tangibles. to me, you got, I mean, you search for this type of guy, to me. You finally got this type of guy. So I think you have to make a choice on somebody that's got to be able to come in and coach that type of guy. I mean, you know what, coaches, in this day and age, players, what is the loyalty really anywhere? I mean, they can go somewhere and they can change the next month, the next year. So you got to get what, to me, you have to be able to, if you have a treasure there, some gold, you got to be able to develop it and mine it like now. So to me, I think somebody has to be able to develop a pro style quarterback. It's going to be a rough choice to me if all of a sudden the pick is somebody that hasn't been able to prove that in their career, right? Somebody that's completely, you know, maybe just all spread and look at what quarterbacks they've worked with. I mean, I think you need someone that's been able, that would have been able to develop a guy like Drew Allen, because, you know, that's the kind of guy that, to me, that's the kind of guy that wins you, that can win you a championship. So I mean, nothing against anybody else that's on that roster. Love Bo Prabula and the other guys they got coming in and Jackson, but I think you have to be able to develop a big pro-style quarterback.
All right, so now let's get to this part. There will be those who are vocal about how they feel about a coaching staff when things don't go right on the field in a particular weekend. And normally that call is to fire everybody. Head coach, mm-hmm. coordinators, janitor, everybody. Okay. All right. I've done research on this, and what I've found is, I want to know what you think about this. Mm-hmm. You look at some of the big name programs. USC's been searching. Texas has been searching. Right? I mean, Miami's been searching. To a point, Florida State's been searching. They've all been trying to search, and Texas A&M's been searching. They've been running through people. Auburn's been searching. Right? When you look at James Franklin, right, and the progress that's at least been made to get to this point based on where he took over, what should the perspective be, in your opinion, about that and what I just talked about?
Well, there's two different ways of, you know, you almost have to sit somebody down and say, okay, there's two different ways of looking at this. I understand the fan, your way. You have a certain expectation based on mm-hmm. previous, what they've done and what you think they should do. And then you have the reality of the rest of the college football world. And, you know, LeVar Arrington had a nice little
yes.
video piece today, and trying to put things in perspective. 10-2 and beating, you know, he had not lost to anyone else on their schedule right. other than Ohio State and Michigan. So that's the flip side. That kind of consistency is pretty much unbelievable, right? Because James gets looked over and glassy-eyed when he talks about consistency, but I mean, to beat everybody else every week, I think it is harder to do, obviously, than what people realize, right? I mean, that's an accomplishment, and that's pretty much, I mean, that's been the case. That's not just this year. I mean, that's been the case for several years here. Can they look at the bigger picture? I think it's simply that. Can they look at the bigger picture? Do they care about the bigger picture? The bigger picture meaning what his overall success has been in rebuilding, not just winning, but in rebuilding Penn State.
Right.
And in this day and age when everything is so much more volatile with your coaching staff and your players. Mm-hmm. And I see here, Steve, here's the other part that I think is hard for people to understand is the financial NIL part of it. And I think it's hard for all of us to understand, because I don't think the figures are, you know, they're not right laid out there for you as to what is coming and what goes and what you need. But we know Penn State was behind in that.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily James Franklin's fault. So you do need money nowadays to be able to put together talent on a team. And that's something I think people still do not want to grasp. And I think Penn State is working toward that. And I think with the success that James has had, I mean, that plays into this. But if you don't, you know, but then at the end, you know, I think it's, I think people just want, they just want a win or two over those teams. I mean, really.
Of course, absolutely.
I think that's what it really comes down to. If they would have, how would the narrative be for fans if they won one of those games this year and that's it?
No,
nothing else has changed in the last 2 years.
You are right. Yep.
How much different would you think it'd be?
Yeah, I mean, it would be dramatically different, right? And we'd be having a different conversation right now, even with a split.
Yes, one game. I mean, and maybe he's, you know, and I'm not there. You know, I don't know what the disconnect may be between James Franklin and the staff and Mike Yurcich and the plan being created and the plan being executed. But if that could be one of the main things holding them back in those two games for whatever reasons, and if you're going to fix it, you fix it now. Try to. And if they come out next year with whoever they have leading and then they win one of those games and take care of their business, going to be a different scenario. I mean, it's a tough world we live in when it comes to judging, isn't it?
No, it's very tough. Without question. And the dynamics change dramatically next year, Frank, because next year means that Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA are in. It's a 1-18. The top two get in, but even if you're not in the top two, you could be 3 or 4 because the college football playoff expands to 12. What can that do pro and con to the perception of any coach?
Yeah, it's harder and easier, right? Because, I mean, now Penn State has an easier chance of qualifying, but their schedule's a little tougher. I mean, in some ways.
Yep.
But here's the thing. I think it's not going to hurt to be tough, as tough of a change for them as others, right? Because they are one of the few who already had to play Ohio State and Michigan every year, right? They already know what it's like to do that. So now suddenly they're going to have to play those Pac-12 teams, but they're not going to have to at least play Ohio State and Michigan every year the same year. So I don't think it gets dramatically tougher for them as it does for others because they've already known that,
right?
So I think when this all shakes out, I think it's going to be better for Penn State because I think simply the fact they've proven – that they can make an expanded playoff. They've proven that since 2016.
Right.
They could have done it several times. And I don't think even with the Pac-12 teams coming in, that's going to change.
All right. Frank, always a pleasure. Great perspective as always. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve. All the best till then. Enjoy it.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Always giving us great stuff. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have Frank Bodani on the show today. And all this is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so here you are at this stage. Game coming up this weekend with Rutgers. But Rutgers wants to shorten the game. Let's be honest with you. It's the style that they play. They would like to see this be, if they could keep this to an 8-possession game, 8 possessions for each team, they'd be loving it. The key is to get up on this team and make them throw the football. Doesn't mean he can't complete some, but you have to do that. You have to make this team play from behind. That's where they get uncomfortable. And that'll be important this week. It's also Senior Day. Nobody's talked about that. senior day is a little different now. You have to have a lot of conversations with people about, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to be back? Do you want to, what are you going to do? It's always interesting as to what the conversations are around that.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com, Ford Kia Hyundai. Best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the all-important Sunbury Motors Guarantee. In other words, they go over every vehicle. That way it eases your buying experience. And a service department that really backs it all up. I don't care if it's routine or difficult, they can handle it. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Greg, still there?
I'm still with you.
Sue would have left hours ago. I'm really busy. Doing what? Playing Minecraft. All right, so, it's just, you worry about such people.
I know.
Yeah. I think he plays Minecraft during the games. All right, so, just kidding. Yeah. All right. Let me ask you something about the Michigan situation for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong about this? But I don't recall a single person in that organization categorically denying that they did it.
Exactly.
Everything's been about deflection.
Correct. That is correct.
I mean, I don't get it. I mean, it's one thing to sit there and say, well, but like most people in this spot decide to do the, hey, we're innocent until proven guilty. We categorically deny it. They haven't done that.
No. And even the guy that's been accused of doing the sign stealing, he's just resigned and quietly left the picture.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the idea has been that we'll make him the scapegoat, and then that's it.
Yes. And by it will the go way, away.
Yeah, and another way. And, well, this is what I like. My favorite is, we're the victim. You're the victim? We're the victim?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Now, the victim of what?
That's right. That's positively right. It's just, I thought about this a lot, Steve, in my own head, which isn't very big, but I think the NCAA needs to be more like the NFL baseball, where they get this and they can process the information and boom, put out or instead of worrying about getting sued all the time.
Well, that's what this comes down to. I mean, every time, in other words, they feel like they have to have every single T crossed, every single I dotted. I'm sorry. If it walks like a duck.
That's right. It's a duck.
And it swims like a duck.
It's a duck.
Yep. And it flies like a duck. It just might be a duck.
That's exactly right.
Goodness gracious.
No, I don't get it. Like I said, if this is an NFL issue or a Major League Baseball issue or hockey or a professional sports organization, the decision's over. It's done with.
Right.
And go from there. And this is just going on and on and on. No, I don't understand it.
Well, what gets me is we're the victim.
Yeah, I know.
Of what?
Exactly.
What, being called out? What, for being caught?
That's, yeah, of being caught.
Yeah. I hate when we're caught. I hate that. Okay. Yeah, I understand. I can see where you're coming from. Crazy.
Yes, yeah, it is. It really is.
I mean, Matt's just... I don't... That's where I'm struggling with all this. Right? When you start, when you sit there and you start to, like they're all after us. What do you mean they're all after you? Why, and number one over here, why don't you deny you did it?
Right. And my issue is this, Steve, too. The president of the university, I don't care if it's what university, if you are accused of cheating, okay, if you're a student that's accused of cheating and you're proven that you're cheated, what happens to that student?
You're gone.
Exactly.
Code of contact. Your code of conduct, you're done.
You're finished. And that and the president of the university is let due process play out. Let all this stuff go on. If it's a student, they're out of there. They're gone. Here, the football coach, he's still there. And being supported.
Right. Again, yeah. I will, you know, I'm always for due process, mm-hmm. always. But due process has been going on. Oh, and by the way, one of the keys to due process, you have to cooperate.
Yes, true.
Part of due process is you saying, hey, what do you need? We didn't do anything wrong. What do you need?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was going. By the way, back to Washington State, Oregon State. So this is what I understand they can do. The other teams, the other schools in the Pac-2/12 are allowed to look at all the agenda items, offer an opinion on the agenda items, but can't vote on the agenda items.
Okay.
Okay, that's where we are. Hey, again, you can look at the agenda items. You can offer an opinion on the agenda items. You can't vote on the agenda items. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like my house, Steve.
Oh, no.
I offer an opinion on a lot of stuff, but she tells me what I'm doing.
Oh, in my house, that person has 51% of the votes.
That's exactly
okay,
right.
That's just great.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Boy. Oh, that's something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's changed. It's remarkable how, in the last 10 years, college athletics has changed. Actually, not even the last 10 years. Last 5 years.
I mean, that's... I look at NIL, critical, mm-hmm. transfer portal.
Right.
That to me is where everything has changed. I also think it brings with it a more professional attitude by segments of the fan base, because they're looking at how much money coaches make. We just talked about Jimbo
right.
Fisher and his $76 million buyout. Right? So they see that number, and let's go back to Tyler from Spartanburg when he called Dabo Swinney.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think, what did he say, 6-4?
Yes.
He says, for my $11.5 million a year, he says, I'm getting 6-4?
Yeah.
Like, yo.
Yeah.
Right? It got a little personal there. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it has given a professional. You're right. I don't look at it that way yet myself, and maybe that's the era I've grown up in.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't look at it that way yet because these kids are still going to classes. They have to put in their hours, do their homework, stay eligible, that type of thing, where a professional athlete doesn't have to do that. But my thing too is like, With Franklin as the coach and all his assistant coaches, you know, we have the recruiting coming up here. What, the signing date is the third Wednesday in December? Is that
it? Yeah, I want to say it's the 20th.
Something like that, yeah. But he could have the best recruiting class in the country, but yet he doesn't know who's going to stay or leave his team right now.
Well, that's something, yeah, he and I did talk a little bit about that today. We were talking about Senior Day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are the times that you're trying to have conversations with people. Okay, what do you intend to do? Because what muddies the water a bit here is the fact that the COVID year is there.
Right.
So let's just take an example. Curtis Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Jacobs has played for 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a senior. But he can take another year because he still has a COVID year coming.
That's right, yeah.
And, like, you know, it's elements like that. Brian from Northern Virginia joins us. Brian, how you been?
I'm doing. Steve, how are you?
Doing well. It's always wonderful to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I always love listening to your show and you calling Penn State Sports. So thank you very much. And
thank you.
I was just, although I'm still, you know, heartbroken about the game on Saturday, you know, at least on the defensive side of the ball, they were, I was very pleased with Coach Diaz and the defensive scheme. And I think Coach Franklin did the right thing by moving on from Coach Yurcich, although the timing, you know, may be off perhaps. Mm-hmm. But the question is, you may or may not be able to provide insight to this, but I'll ask anyway. In my opinion, I think it's going to be important for this offensive coordinator hire. You know, we hit a home run with Manny Diaz, and I think for the offensive coordinator position, I think we need to go for like a moonshot. We need to do something big, because I think the risk is sort of tying in what you and Greg were talking about. You know, we need to have somebody with a good vision, a very good clear-cut offensive scheme and a proven track record, because I don't want to risk, you know, some players transferring out, whether that be a Nick Singleton or an Aller or pick whoever. And likewise, if we bring in a good offensive coach, good offensive coordinator, you know, that may help us pick up some receivers maybe in the transfer portal or get somebody on signing day that was unexpected that could boost the wide receiving core for the offense. So the first question is, do you think Coach Franklin is looking for another moonshot or home run hire, however you want to call it? Do you think he has the resources for it? And the last point is, question is rather, do you think that, you know, Athletic Director Kraft is going to be involved or providing any guidance or insight?
Okay, so how about if I go middle, last, and then front? How about that?
Sure.
So we'll start in the middle. The ability to hire whomever he wishes. He will have the ability to hire whomever he wishes along the way, because what he has right now is alignment between his board, his president, and his athletic director. When you have that kind of alignment, it gives you the flexibility to make the hire exactly the one you need and not have any hurdles in the way to do it. All right? So let's start with that. Pat Kraft's involvement is that I think is just going to be, hey, I think he's going to trust the guy that's in charge of his football program to make the hire, but James is going to tell him who the hire is and why. Okay? And then at that point, you know, again, we talk about alignment. Pat will back him up. I think that's how it's going to work. Now, Pat have any involvement, maybe talking with the individual? Sure, could. But in the end, he's going to trust his football coach to pick the guy he's most comfortable with to run it. All right? And a good manager does that, and Pat's a good manager. So let's go back to the front, that home run hire that you talked about. It has to be somebody that has the ability to call plays, has a great vision for doing it, and not only is it the great vision of, hey, every 25 seconds I'm able to call out something else and sequence things well, but during the course of the week with your players, you have to be able to give them that dynamic feeling that, hey, you do this, baby, and it is going to work. Right? It's always that communication piece with your players, because they need to know how critical they are to making it work, how excited you are to put it in for them to make it work, and then go from there. So there's a lot of layers to it when it comes down to it. And that's where the players part does come in. Hey, you know, you're a great running back. You're a great receiver. You're a great offensive lineman. This is how you fit into what we do, and because of how good you are, we can do this.
Okay. Well, I hope there's a lot of potential, and you know, I have a lot of trust in Coach Franklin. He did, like I said, a great job with Coach Diaz. Hopefully he'll do a great job and kind of reinvigorate some excitement in the team and the program, and set us up for a really great season next year. And the last only comment I would make, because a lot of people have been bringing up about Singleton, and he's not performed as well this year, and I think Mr. Bodani had brought that up. And I would agree with that. I think a lot of it is, and this is just my thoughts, is that when you compare Penn State to, like, for example, Michigan when they ran last week, Michigan and some of these other teams, their running backs are 7 to 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. They're hitting the line with a lot of forward momentum and body lean, and they also have a little better chance with vision to check for lanes or cutbacks, whereas our running backs seem to be closer to line of scrimmage, flat-footed, and when they're moving, some of our mesh points and handoffs are a little slow, and that's not giving them an opportunity to maybe make a miss or hit a hole with more power. Now, I think Catron's doing all that a little bit better, but I think personally, Singleton would benefit better from having a little bit more time to see the field as he's approaching the line with momentum and be able to see a cutback lane. So that's just my two cents, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
But
first of all, I hope I answered your first question.
Oh, you did.
The hire. So number two on Singleton. Penn State essentially does a lot of the same things Michigan does. There are times that Corum lines up right next to J.J. McCarthy. There are times where they line up in the pistol and he's behind J.J. McCarthy. There's times where J.J.'s under center and he's 7 yards deep. Penn State does all that, right? When they run the two tight ends in the backfield on either side of the quarterback, where's the running back? He's deep, okay? And doing exactly what you talked about. Now, does Michigan maybe do that? Now, they don't do the inverted tight end thing. But right. Does Michigan line them up deeper, maybe more often than Penn State? Maybe, but it turns out if you really look at it, when Penn State goes pistol, he's deep. When Drew goes under center, he's deep. And obviously there are times, as you point out correctly, there are times where he's in the shotgun and either Nick or Catron's right next to him, to his left or right, and you're absolutely correct about that. But if you watch Michigan and Ohio State, they essentially do the same thing with their running backs. So when McCord and McCarthy are under center, those guys are deep. When they run pistol, those guys are deep. When they run traditional RPO, the running back is next to them. So, and a lot, almost everybody is running the same type of offense with different, right? And I understand you want to get Nick a head start, and that I do understand completely, because you want to see him at the high speed when he hits the hole, correct?
Absolutely. Okay. Give him all the momentum and a little bit more vision to see the field, or at least the section of the field where he's running, and because I think that would help him maybe make some cuts, because sometimes I think he follows his blockers maybe a little too long and misses an opportunity for a cutback that would maybe spring him. But that's just somebody sitting in the stands or watching on TV.
Hey. Let's just see if it happens then. Let's have some fun and see if it happens this week, and then we can have more fun with it next week. But, I mean, and I understand exactly where you come from. You want that downhill forward momentum that gets him rolling.
And I want him to have – he's a great player, a great young man. I want him to be successful, and that's what it's about. So, well, thank you so much, Steve. You have a great day, and like I said, love the show, and really appreciate all you do for Penn State. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brian. Always appreciate you. And we'll, by the way, 9.1 million viewers for Penn State. I mean, again, that's another big audience. I mean, I know everybody's disappointed, but people watch. And I know they hate Big Noon Kickoff, but, man, they watch because of the matchups they watch, not because of the noon time slot. It's just because of the matchups.